Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, welcome in a Friday edition of the show. Glad to be with you. Glad to have you with me. Plenty to get to. Indiana getting ready for a game against Ohio State. I want to call it a big game, an important game, a must-win game, whatever you want to call it. I don't know that it's really any of those things. It obviously is very important. And we're going to get to a point of this Big Ten season with how crazy this dang conference is where some teams, and let's hope it's not Indiana, but in the final weeks of the regular season or going into the conference tournament, there are going to be some situations for teams that probably should be NCAA teams that if they're going to get off the bubble and into the tournament are really going to have true back-against-the-wall situations like Indiana had to end last season. But no question about it. Every game is big for Indiana. The home games that are remaining, I think five, are huge for Indiana. And there are some games like this Ohio State game that if Indiana loses, it's not the end of the world. It's not the end of an NCAA tournament hope for this team. But you know you can beat them. You beat them once. You know they're having some struggles. Lots going on and off the court with Ohio State. Might as well go in there and try to get a win. That's the easiest thing to do in a competitive conference. And then you can move on to what's next. And if you flub up at home or flub up some other time, you know you've got a road win at Ohio State under your belt. So going to be real interesting to see how Indiana plays, and this has kind of been the same sentiment we've shared after a lot of games, coming off a couple good performances. I thought Michigan State and Maryland won a win, won a loss, coming off a really bad performance, especially the second half, especially from the guards, especially from some of the leaders of this team. How do they bounce back Saturday at Ohio State? They've been so up and down. There's been so much fluctuation to things. It's going to be really interesting to see. But we know it's a big one. We know all of them the rest of the way are big ones. This conference, and I'm going to open up our headlines here in a moment talking about the Big Ten conference as I've done so much this season. This conference is crazy. You never know night in or night out if it's going to be a result on the floor. You know, somebody upset somebody or a crazy happening, a crazy game, a crazy score. Or, as in what I'm going to talk about here in a few moments, off-the-court stuff for the most part, with players getting suspended, players leaving teams, whether temporary or permanently. It's just been a crazy conference this season. But I'll tell you one thing, it's a good conference. There are so many good teams in the Big Ten, so many tournament-worthy teams in the Big Ten. The Big Ten tournament is going to be fun. The final few weeks of the conference season, regular season, are going to be fun. And I think following this conference into the NCAA tournament is going to start off with a bang because you're going to have a ton of teams. Maybe that'll be a record this year. And then I think you're going to have success from some of these teams. I don't know if there's a Final Four team or a national championship team in the mix, but like we were talking about yesterday with some of our guests and with Lee Kelly when he was with me, the season is so open this year. You know, we thought Michigan State was a Final Four national championship team coming into the season, and then since then have backed off of that some, although they are pretty good. Then, of course, Indiana beats them, and I know that probably sends others to, well, if Indiana beats you, how can you be considered for a national championship? But why can anybody not be considered as a Final Four team or a national championship team that can get into the field or be on the bubble for the field based on how this season has went? Who knows? It's the year you think that there's not anybody that's going to make a real deep run from the conference. There could be a lot of teams get in, but who knows that? With how this college basketball season has went, both on and off the court, it's just been crazy time. So going to be fun. February 1 tomorrow on Saturday. And hard to believe we're at that point. Hard to believe we're entering the final weeks of regular season, final month of regular season games. And we've got conference tournaments to look forward to, obviously, later this month, but mainly in early March, those first few weeks of March. And, of course, NCAA tournament as well. Lots of fun ahead. Lots of fun ahead. I said if I had to get sick and miss a number of days, which I did earlier this week and late last week, I'm glad that it happened, because I'm hoping that we can stay healthy and on the air with you each and every day, and appreciate those of you that have hung with us through some of these off days for me this week. But feeling better, about back to normal, not quite, but just about. And glad you're with us here on this Friday program. Let's take a look at today's show lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one, we've got our Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. We're going to talk about some of the crazy happenings in the Big Ten Conference this week. A number of things going on. These aren't like scores or upsets or anything like that, but off-the-court stuff, suspensions, players leaving teams temporarily or permanently, as I mentioned at the top of the show. So we're going to start with that coming up here in just a little bit. Then we'll talk some about IU and Ohio State, that game coming up. Today we'll talk some high school basketball and preview the weekend for you real quick here in our opening segment. Some really good high school games coming up tonight and Saturday, and we'll catch you up on those here in just a second. Later in the program, segment two, I'll be joined by Jared Morris of the Assembly Call. Jared is with me Fridays to talk IU basketball, and we're going to cover a lot of ground today, as I normally do Fridays with Jared. Reserve a lot of time for him, and look forward to the opportunity to talk about the Ohio State game, about Ohio State, some of the collapse that they've had, excuse me, here recently. Also, with Jared, we're going to talk about the Big Ten as a whole, which we always do. And we're going to talk about really the lack of showing up by some of the veteran IU players, including some of the guards, in a few games this season, and more coming up here a little bit later in the show. Then following Jared to close things out today, Kyle Nedenrip of the Indianapolis Stars with us. We always talk lots of basketball with Kyle. We'll talk some high school ball. We'll talk some recruiting. We'll talk a lot more coming up here. Kyle's had a couple really good pieces here recently that I want to talk about with him. That's the show lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Visit your local Honey Baked Ham store in New Albany and receive $15 off any bone-in ham. Also, buy one, get one free ham bone, all for a limited time at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's jump into our Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news presented by Zaxby's. They have locations in Jeffersonville and New Albany. And I mentioned the conference. It's crazy. It's good. It's deep. There are a lot of different ways to describe the Big Ten Conference this year. But some crazy things this week as far as news surrounding the conference. First off, Xavier Simpson, one of the conference's great players, suspended. Then Kobe King of Wisconsin, he announces that he's going to transfer. Some interesting reports and quotes and notes on that, because it really doesn't seem like, you know, sometime a player leaves and you know the player maybe really doesn't want to leave, but has done something he shouldn't have done or committed multiple offenses or just not fitting in with the team. And you can tell from the both ways that, hey, it's not going to work. This player needed to leave. I don't get that feeling with King. It sure seems like Greg Gard and the Wisconsin people want him there, but this is a loss for them. Based on some of the things Kobe King had to say once this was out there, he clearly was not happy with the coaching at Wisconsin and where he was headed, at least where he thought he was headed at Wisconsin. So crazy to see him out at this point in the middle of the season as we are. And then, of course, you've got a suspension. Brad Davidson at Cincinnati, suspended by the Big Ten Conference this week, for some of his actions on the floor. And then on a more, I don't want to say reasonable note, but on a more humbling note, DJ Carton, who is a player that you probably, if you're not familiar with him from Ohio State and watching him go against the Hoosiers and watching him play in the Big Ten there, you're probably familiar with him because Indiana recruited DJ Carton. He's out of Iowa originally. That's where he's from, where he played high school basketball. Indiana was very involved in recruiting him. I think it was kind of one of those fairly late recruitments, maybe where they didn't get involved until early in his senior year. But he announced yesterday on social media, and I've got it pulled up here, I'm going to read it to you. He announced that he's going to leave, at least temporarily, the Ohio State team because of some mental health issues. He wrote on Twitter, quote, "After talking to my family, teammates, and coaches, I've decided it's best at this time to temporarily step away from the Ohio State basketball program. In making this decision, I felt it was important to be transparent as to why I'm taking this break. I've been suffering with mental health issues for a couple of years. I've been through a lot. I'm disappointed to say I'm not 100% right now. I'm not doing my teammates justice if I don't work on this now. I'm doing everything in my power to strengthen my mental health. I will fight for my team and for Buckeye Nation, and I will come back stronger. If you are going through mental health issues, I have learned through this, you are loved and valued. Thank you for the continuous support, love and support, Buckeye Nation. Please respect my decision and my privacy." And again, that's DJ Carton's announcement. Very interesting because obviously, this goes on. Mental health is a struggle for lots of people. It's an okay thing. It happens. It goes on. But nice to see a player, especially a young man, a college student, step up, make an announcement, tell why he's out, and that he's going to get some help. And that he believes he will come back better than he is now. That is big stuff for him, and I wish, obviously, as we all do, I know DJ Carton the very best in getting himself right so he can play college basketball. That takes a lot of strenuous effort and a lot of time and a lot of pressure from some of these guys. But kudos to him for making that announcement, being upright with that, forthright with that, and best of luck for him as he goes through that process to get better, whatever that may be. That is interesting to think about because he's someone with some talent, someone that Ohio State will not have in their game against the Hoosiers coming up this weekend. So, you know, this Ohio State team and DJ Carton's situation obviously is a little bit different. But back in December, early December, first week of Big Ten Conference games, you know, don't forget this Ohio State team was about to be the number one team in the country. They had had some big games. They won their first 9 games of the year. They were ranked number 3 in the country. They had some real opportunities, though. They had some great performances to solidify that they might, you know, be maybe they would be the Michigan State instead coming out of the Big Ten Conference this year that could be a Final Four team. I can vividly remember watching a Ohio State game and the halftime report. I don't know if it was Andy Katz or who it was, but a respectable person that knows the college game, that obviously they make a lot of predictions throughout the year. If you kept track of all of them, they not nearly would all come true, but they said, hey, this Ohio State team, this is a Final Four caliber team the way they're playing. And I don't doubt the way that they were playing that they were, but obviously a lot has sure changed since then. You want to talk about frustration from fans and a team that sure wasn't what they were to start the year. Going back into the middle of December, definitely Ohio State. Our Zaxby's headlines continue. Let's take a quick look at some high school games this week. Love doing that tip-off show brought to you by Frank H. Monroe. I couldn't do it this week because I was out so many days sick. We'll come back with that next week. That's where we really get to preview and interview coaches and players for the big games each weekend here in Clark and Floyd counties. But just real quick to go through things. If you want to get treated to a good game, I think this will be a hell of a basketball game. Saturday night, Silver Creek is going to host Bloomington South. That's number 1 4A South, number 1 3A Silver Creek. That's Anthony Leal and others on the South team that are very talented. And, of course, for Silver Creek, you know, Kaufman and Jacoby and Northern and so many players that have stepped up this year to continue this Silver Creek dominance. It should be a terrific game, and I guess you'd have to say Bloomington South maybe the favorite, but I'm not at all going to be surprised if Silver Creek does not win that game, especially at home on Saturday night. That's a big one here as we approach the final weeks of the season coming up for Silver Creek. Other good games this weekend, a lot of conference games, a lot of games that have potential sectional matchups to them a few weeks down the road. Bedford is at Jeff tonight. Providence at Christian Academy, 11-win Providence. They are playing really good basketball. Christian Academy, their record 8-7, but they've taken on all sorts of big schools, all sorts of really tough games on their schedule, getting ready for the postseason, and I think that'll be a good game. I don't know if early in the year I would have said Christian Academy in Providence would have been a good game. I think I would have said Christian Academy's better. They're going to have a big year, but Providence is playing really good. Ryan Miller, Nick Sexton, lots of people there playing some good ball for that team, and good to see them coming together. That should be a good one tonight. Christian Academy at Borden on Saturday. That's one of those sectional matchups potentially. New Albany, they host Evansville North tonight. Evansville North just very mediocre. Jasper, 11-2, plays at New Albany on Saturday. Jasper now 4A. Jasper having a pretty good year. It should be a good matchup at home for New Albany. And then Evansville Wrights with Christian Lander. They come back to the area after playing at New Albany last week. They are at Floyd Central, 7:30 tip-off on Saturday. So a number of really good high school games this weekend here in the area. That's a look at our Zaxby's headlines. Zaxby's with locations in Jeffersonville and New Albany. Jared Morris of the Assembly Call is next. We'll talk IU, Ohio State, IU struggles, and more, followed by Kyle Neddenrip of the Indianapolis Star. You're listening to a Friday edition of the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And welcome back to this Friday program. It's great to have Jared Morris of the Assembly Call with us here on the Hoosier Report. And, Jared, some interesting times for this Indiana team. Some good wins, competitive loss against a very good Maryland team that just didn't quite go Indiana's way at the end. And then, of course, looking this week, a not-so-great performance on the road at Penn State. But I feel like there is hope for this Indiana team and the fan base. Still very hopeful at this point that this team can finish out the season strong, finish with some big wins, and perhaps become an NCAA tournament team out of a very good Big Ten conference this season. Where do you see, just to kind of open up generally today, where do you see Indiana at on track for the tournament and on track for a reasonable finish in the Big Ten conference as we enter the month of February on Saturday?
Yeah, I think things are basically fine. Like, I don't, you know, I think when you looked at the season, you know, before it started, I think the standard that everybody had for this year was make the NCAA tournament. You know, that was kind of the bar for this year. That seemed like a fair expectation. And if you do that, you know, given the roster and what we projected it to be, you could probably feel good about it. Anything above that, you know, you might feel, you know, really good about it or ecstatic, and anything below that, you'd be disappointed. And I think right now, you know, based on their record, based on who they've beaten, based on where they are in the Big Ten, and based on what they have coming up, I think they're essentially just right on track for that. You know, they're not really on track to, you know, win, you know, 23 or 24 games and just, you know, kind of blow the preseason expectations out of the water. You know, but they're also not sinking to the level of the most pessimistic preseason expectations. They're right there, basically, you know, a little bit ahead of, you know, the cut line, I guess, for the NCAA tournament. You know, where most of the bracketologists have them 7th, 8th, 9th, something like that. You know, they're sitting right now at 7th in the Big Ten Conference. So I think if you had told me before the season started, hey, would you take, you know, this is where you're going to be on January 31st, would you take it and then take your chances with the rest of the season? I would have said yes. You know, now there have obviously been some disappointments in the way that they've played and some ups and downs as we've gone through it, but you know, they're sitting here heading into the, you know, the final stretch of the season with all of the goals still in front of them, seeming fully capable of achieving it. You know, if they can just come together and play more, you know, more consistent basketball, more of the basketball that we saw at Nebraska and against Michigan State and for a, you know, long stretch in the second half against Maryland, as opposed to what we saw over, you know, the final few minutes against Maryland and certainly the second half against Penn State. So, you know, things are fine, you know, I guess is what I would say. And hopefully with the way that they play over the rest of the season, they can even be better than that.
Talking with Jared Morris of the Assembly Call. Jared, recently taking a look specifically at the Penn State game, it was some of the younger players on this Indiana team. And, of course, Trace Jackson Davis consistently this season has been one of those guys that stepped up and helped lead the way. I know it wasn't to a victory or to a great performance, but that stepped up with bigger performances. And that's the case, I think, recently in some games as well, not just the Penn State game. It's been some of the veterans in that Penn State game. Guard play, backcourt play really stands out to me as an area that left a lot to be wondered about. That's what wasn't so great. So, interestingly enough, right now it's been some of the returners, some of the veterans, some of the guys that you think you'd be pretty comfortable with handling the ball against Penn State or a Big Ten team that maybe haven't held up their end of the bargain. Some of the younger guys have been doing okay recently.
Yeah, you know, it's probably the most frustrating part about this team and being a fan of this team and watching this team play every week. And I'm sure it's got to be a difficult thing for Archie Miller that, you know, some of the upperclassmen, you just don't know what you're going to get from them on a game-to-game basis. You know, Devontae Green, obviously his ups and downs have been well chronicled, and obviously he is able to take this Indiana team and especially this Indiana offense to another level when he's really out there shooting well. But, you know, his extreme swings, you know, almost seem to, you know, have become a little bit more extreme this season. You know, Al Durham, I think, is a guy who has obviously shown flashes. But, you know, he still, you know, as he, you know, rounds into the final stretch of his junior season, hasn't proven yet that he can be counted on, you know, game in, game out. I think there are certain matchups that he really responds well to and others that he doesn't. And Justin Smith, I think, has certainly been much more consistent from a production standpoint, from a defensive standpoint. You know, but even he, you know, given the athletic ability that he has and the experience that he has, you know, I think it's still fair to expect a little bit more out of him. And Deron Davis, you know, obviously, you know, we haven't gotten much from him all season, but he's been better lately, which is good. And so, you know, when you have guards, especially your experienced guards, that you don't really know what to expect from them, it makes it really hard to be consistent. And I think, you know, Archie's been fully upfront about that. And that's not to absolve the coach from responsibility, because he obviously has a responsibility to develop those players and to put them in a position to succeed. But for whatever reason, you know, whether it's the personalities of the players, their skills, the system, their relationship with the coach, like whatever. I'm not saying I know what it is, but for whatever reason, that mix just isn't leading to consistent play. And when you have inconsistent guards, and especially when you have guards that are capable of just, you know, frankly, the kind of atrocious performance that they put up against Penn State, you know, you're going to get performances and bad losses like that. There's just no way around it. Especially against the good teams in the Big Ten, especially in the tough road venues in the Big Ten. So it's just something that, you know, now that we've seen this team enough and seen some of these players for two or three years, it's probably not going to magically change over the final 5 weeks of the season, but hopefully it can be minimized. And maybe there are only one or two more games like that where they, you know, really just can't give you anything, but the rest of their games they're able to be, you know, adequate to good. And if that's the case, then Indiana will be fine. But, you know, if we start to see more games, you know, resembling what we saw against Penn State, it's going to be really hard for this team to come up with the amount of wins that they're going to need. Because you win with guards in college basketball, and you win with experience. And right now, those are two things Indiana just hasn't been able to count on.
Jared, I want to talk some about the Ohio State game coming up on Saturday here in just a moment. But first, it's been kind of a – and we've talked a ton about the Big Ten this season because it's been so good. There have been so many storylines, so many interesting games. It has been, I think, the conference for college basketball this year, and I expect that to continue. I think, as most do, the Big Ten will place maybe a record number of teams in the NCAA tournament. But that said, it's been an interesting week, I guess is the right way to say it, for the conference, and I want to talk about a couple happenings, one involving Ohio State before we get to the game this Saturday, Indiana at Ohio State. But Ohio State had a player that Indiana fans should be fairly familiar with, at least his name for sure, DJ Carton, because Indiana was pretty involved with him from a recruiting perspective back when he was maybe a junior and definitely a senior in high school. But he went to social media yesterday and announced that basically he's going to take a break from the Ohio State basketball program, said it was just a temporary step away so he can – has been suffering some mental health issues for a couple of years, wants to get those figured out, wants to make those things better so he can come back again and hopefully contribute to the Buckeyes team. That's one interesting situation, and kudos to him, because you don't often see young men especially saying, hey, it's not an injury, it's not an ankle, it's not a health concern, this is a mental health concern. And it's obviously something that goes on often in our society today, and I commend him for being, I don't want to say man enough, but for stepping up and telling, being an example maybe for others that have struggles or issues that could use a step away from their day job or from something that's as grueling as basketball and college basketball is in the Big Ten. Then at Wisconsin, a couple interesting situations as well. You have a player that basically chose to leave the program in midseason, that was an interesting player, and another player suspended. So it's been kind of I've said topsy-turvy is a good way to describe the Big Ten this year. Maybe not from the big game or the upset perspective or from some crazy happening on the floor, but for some off-the-court reasons and some players no longer or at least temporarily not with their teams, it's been kind of a different week.
Yeah, it has. Well, and that comes on the heels of last week, you know, one of the most dependable players in the conference, Xavier Simpson, getting suspended
true.
For a game.
Yeah,
so
true.
You know, it has been strange in that respect. And, you know, I echo your sentiments about DJ Carton. I think it was, you know, courageous for him to step away and to be upfront with why he was doing it. You know, and I really hesitate to judge those situations any more than that, you know, in terms of Kobe King and why he might have stepped away. You know, obviously he was having some problems with Greg Gard and either didn't like the way that he was being used or, you know, if you kind of dig into it, you know, kind of what he was saying is he just didn't really like the way he was being treated. So, you know, who knows? I mean, I think, you know, that's a decision that he had to make. His teammates seemed to support him. So, you know, but it isn't something that you often see. And so it'll be interesting to see, you know, how they handle it. Obviously, you know, you hope that DJ Carton, that Kobe King are able to, you know, use their time away, that those decisions work out for them, you know, because I think as fans of college athletes, you know, it's easy to get real caught up in the games and to forget, you know, that these are, you know, college kids that are going through, you know, a very transformational, you know, time in their life. And, you know, it might be hard for them to be consistent game in, game out. You know, I just got done talking about, you know, how Indiana's players have, you know, dealt with ups and downs and all of those things. And I mean, you know, when I was a college student, I dealt with ups and downs and all of those things. So I can't imagine, you know, having some guy on a post game show, you know, coming on and talking about how I had a bad week and, you know, wasn't consistent in class this week. And so, you know, when you see things like this happen, it is a good reminder that these are, you know, people, you know, that are out there playing these games. And so, you know, it's important to be respectful of the challenges and the ups and downs they may be going through. As for Brad Davison at Wisconsin, I do not offer the same level of sympathy and understanding to him, simply because this has become a track record for him of, you know, tripping guys and, you know, popping guys when he's going around screens. And, you know, when you hear Greg Gard talk about how he didn't think he should have been suspended and he'll have his players back, I mean, that to me shows exactly why Brad Davison keeps doing this stuff. I mean, it's indefensible, like, to go around a screen like that and do that. It did not need to happen. That's not a basketball play. And so I get wanting to defend your guy publicly, but how about hold the guy accountable and just be straight up with what actually happened? So I kind of lost a little bit of respect for Greg Gard when he said that. So we'll see. You know, it's difficult. I mean, every team kind of goes through challenges, whether it's an injury or, you know, some kind of absence, that kind of stuff, as you go through a season. And it does kind of feel like, you know, this topsy-turvy, hard-fought Big Ten is going to be a bit of a war of attrition. You know, so we'll see who's left standing at the end, but certainly it's going to make things more difficult on the court for Wisconsin and for Ohio State. And so we'll see how they come through it.
Jared, let's talk a little bit about your thoughts on Indiana at Ohio State. We're in the point of the year, and really we've been there, where if I'm not careful when I get on this show, I say it's a big game. It's a pivotal game. It's a must-win game. And I don't know that that's the case given the makeup of the Big Ten Conference. I am sure that Indiana and other teams in the conference could get to a point a little bit later in this month where you truly do have some back-against-the-wall must-win games. But this is definitely an interesting game because Indiana has beaten Ohio State. Indiana now goes to Ohio State, and it's an Ohio State team that really has never recovered from a really good stretch they had in December and leading up to the conference year when people thought, hey, this might be a Final Four team, a big NCAA tournament team. They looked that way for a while, and then for many reasons have not really materialized into that moving forward. So it's definitely a winnable game. It's definitely a game that you think Indiana will compete in very closely if they don't win. So I'm curious how you break this one down and how you see this matchup in your eyes when Indiana goes to rival Ohio State on Saturday.
Yeah, I agree with your characterization. It's not a must-win, but it's an important win. I think you could start to make the argument that the rest of Indiana's home games are must-wins, you know, given what we've seen from this team on the road. And then I think Indiana's just got to try to find one, you know, one road game the rest of the season that they can get. This one seems gettable, but, you know, again, with how this team has played on the road, I take nothing for granted. I think the big key for Indiana is this Ohio State team has been a really good three-point shooting team. I think they're 18th in the country right now in three-point shooting. But during their eight-game slide, you know, since they got all the way up to number one in the country, they haven't been shooting the three as well. And so I think with them at home, given how they can shoot it, given the challenges that Caleb Wesson poses, you know, as a pick-and-pop type guy, and that's really how he hurt Indiana and Bloomington. Joey Bronk, I thought, did a tremendous job, as did Deron Davis, defending him in the post. But he was able to get Indiana a couple times for three, you know, just like Jalen Smith did from Maryland. I think if you're Indiana in this game, you have got to run them off the three-point line. Do not let them be comfortable shooting threes, because if they can do that at home and start to get into a rhythm, Indiana just cannot score enough points, or at least hasn't really proven that they can score enough points to compete in that type of game. And so I think if you're going to take your chances, you know, take your chances with Caleb Wesson, you know, going down on the block one-on-one against Julie, against Trace, against Deron. You may give up some buckets, but you're going to be giving up a two, you know, instead of a three and a big momentum changer. So that's what really worries me about this game is, you know, if this Ohio State team comes out and gets back to shooting like they did at the beginning of the season when they were knocking down 40% of their threes, that's going to be a real challenge for Indiana. And so I think, you know, defensively, that's what Indiana has to do. I think offensively, they're going to have to make some shots. There's no question about it. But they've also got to stay committed to playing through the post, because that's how things work for this team. And so if they can do that, and if the guards can actually step up and make some shots, they have every opportunity in the world to be right there at the end to win this game. But the reality is, in all of our road games, except for that Nebraska game, we haven't been there in the end with a real chance to win. And second halves have been really, really poor for us. So, you know, I think this Indiana team really has some proving to do that they can go out and get that done against a quality team like Ohio State. It's a great opportunity to do it. Really big chance, you know, to get a road win that would really help. But now they've just got to go out there and do it. Hopefully they'll be up to that challenge on Saturday.
Jared, I didn't have this in my notes, but real quick I want to bring it up because you said it. You could make an argument that Indiana's home games the rest of the way are must-win. I want to look at those real quick. It's five games by my count quickly here. Purdue, Iowa, Penn State, Minnesota, and Wisconsin are those five games at home. That's a really good point, I think, especially because of what we've seen from Indiana consistently on the road in these conference games.
Yeah, no doubt. And look, all of those are quality opponents. But none of those teams are on the level of Michigan State and Maryland. And you beat Michigan State, and you should have beaten Maryland. So those are games that Indiana should win, and they're going to need to win. You know, again, for that same reason of you look on the road, and they're winnable road games. Ohio State feels winnable. Minnesota feels winnable. You know, not that those aren't tough places to play, but, you know, they're good teams, but they're not overwhelmingly more talented or better than Indiana. But you just can't count on that right now. So you've got to be able to take care of that business at home, you know, and if you can do that, I mean, right there, you know, you're at the 10 wins that you feel like you need. So, you know, they're not technically must wins because you could always, you know, pick up another one on the road, something like that, but I'm just not anywhere near the point of being able to count on that from this Indiana team with no more road games at Nebraska or Northwestern left on the schedule. So Hoosiers need to take care of business at home, and if you can go get one of these road wins, you would feel really, really good.
Absolutely. Jared Morris, Assembly Call. Don't forget, Assembly Call IU postgame show right here on the Big X after each IU game. A great way to decompress, win or lose, to get some good insight into this Indiana team and their performance coming up against Ohio State. I want to close with a real quick fun note, or at least I thought it was pretty fun. Victor Oladipo back in the NBA, back playing for the Indiana Pacers. I've seen some really good interview clips with him since he's been back out on the court, and he's done okay. He's on minute restriction right now, as you can imagine, and that's going to continue for some time into the season before he's turned loose, hopefully fully ready to go and help Indiana do some good things this season. But it is so good to – and I don't watch a lot of Pacers games live, but it is so good to see highlights of him, see more video clips of him getting interviewed about various things. He always seems to get asked about Indiana and other things, not just his Pacer performances or team, but just a good thing for our state, for the Indiana program, obviously for the Pacers, I think obviously as well for him to be back and in uniform playing in the NBA.
It's great. I mean, you know, he's obviously a special player, but he's just a special person. And I think when you watch athletes, and especially when you watch, you know, guys that play for your school, you want to see guys play hard and you want to see them be talented and be good and all of those things. But I think there's a special bond that you create with guys that just, it's clear that they are enthusiastic about what they're doing, who they're doing it with, and that they're grateful for the opportunity that they have. And I always felt that with Victor, even though he's not a guy who grew up in Indiana. It felt like from the moment he came to Indiana, he was enthusiastic about being a Hoosier, and he was grateful for the opportunity that he had and to, you know, to be able to follow in the footsteps of the great players that came before him. And you get that exact same sense with him with the Pacers, you know, and I think that's why it is such a genuine two-way love between Victor and between the fans of Indiana, because you connect automatically with his enthusiasm, with his gratitude, and on top of it all, he is a scintillating basketball player. So he's everything that you want in an athlete. And it's hard to see him get hurt and hard to see him miss that time. But boy, it's great to see him be back. And hopefully he can, continue to kind of recover and rehab and become the phenomenal player that he was before the injury, if not better.
Absolutely. Jared Morris, Assembly Call, always with us Fridays, the host of the IU post-game show and more. You can find out about Assembly Call at assemblycall.com. Jared, thanks so much for being back with us today. Look forward to our conversations through February, which starts tomorrow, and then, of course, March Madness. We'll talk with you again next Friday.
It'll be here before we know it. Thanks, Matt.
No question about it. Coming up still today, Kyle Nedenrip of the Indianapolis Star. Lots to talk about. We'll dig into some recruiting. We'll talk some high school basketball as well. And keep in mind, it's as I mentioned in the first segment, it's another big weekend of high school basketball here in the area. The game of the week, and I was sick out most of the last week, so we don't have a tip-off show presented by Frank H. Monroe Heating and Cooling tonight, unfortunately. But I think the big game is Silver Creek hosting Bloomington South on Saturday night. Number one in 4A, Bloomington South with Anthony Leal. There's an opportunity for Indiana fans locally to get out and see Leal play. Silver Creek, number one in 3A. I don't know if anybody can beat them. They're really good. And Trey Kaufman, Cooper Jacoby, Brandon Northern, and more, a very deadly combo. Of course, you can see Leal from an IU perspective. You can see Trey Kaufman, who's a big IU target. Cooper Jacoby, wouldn't surprise me if he ends up playing above mid-major college basketball, and would be a really good game to catch. Also, you've got Madison and Silver Creek tonight. Madison under Sharon Wilkerson, former Indiana player, former Jeffersonville Red Devil and coach there, much better this season. They've been competing with the New Albany's and the Jeffs. Floyd Central all have been reasonably close games. That's another big one for the Dragons this weekend. Bedford North Lawrence at Jeff tonight. Providence at Christian Academy tonight. That should be a good game as well. Christian Academy at Borden on Saturday. That could have a sectional feel to it. Jasper at New Albany Saturday. Evansville North at New Albany tonight. Evansville Wrights with Christian Lander. He's back in the area. There's another IU target. at Floyd Central on Saturday. Should be a good game. So a number of good games this weekend as far as high school basketball goes. We'll head to a break. Kyle Nedenrip is next. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back on this Friday show. Kyle Nedenrip of the Indianapolis Star joins me. We're going to talk some basketball. Imagine that in this segment. Some recruiting stuff, some high school stuff as well with Kyle. And Kyle, it's hard to believe that girls sectionals, those pairings were out a week ago, and sectional tournaments across the Hoosier State get underway for the most part on Tuesday night this upcoming week. But it's amazing that we're that far into the calendar, that far into the girls' season, and that means that boys' pairings are just around the corner, and we're less than a month away from boys' sectional games.
Yeah, it is hard to believe, and it's always fun to get into that, and the girls obviously get ramped up next week, and then, kind of as you said, the schedule gets picks up even more here as the boys' pairings will come out. Before too long, we have basketball day in Indiana next week, so that's always a fun day on Saturday. Quite a few games up at Kokomo next week, so it's a fun time of year. It's a time of year where you're trying to get a lot of stories out that you're hoping to get to before the end of the season's over with, and working on a couple of those now. But yeah, it's really we're about 2 months away from the end of the boys basketball season, and about a month away from sectional play. So I can't wait for that to get going. A lot of storylines that are yet to unfold, and we're starting to get a good idea of who the major contenders are, but there's always surprises, so can't wait for that.
Kyle Nedenrip, Indianapolis Star, with me. We're excited about this weekend, a big regular season matchup. It really, this game has no conference or sectional implications. In fact, it's two teams not even in the same class, but number one, Silver Creek against new 4A number one, Bloomington South. It'll take place in Sellersburg on Saturday night. I sense that obviously it's a big game. We know both of these teams are good. Both are state championship caliber teams. And I think Silver Creek is a big favorite in 3A. But I sense there's a little uptick locally in the game because some IU fans and some folks that are following the recruiting side of things we'll get a chance to see Anthony Leal right here in Southern Indiana in our part of the state. And also, of course, him going against good players like Trey Kaufman, also an IU target from Silver Creek.
Absolutely. And I was down there. Actually, we were under the same roof last week. I was went and saw the New Albany Silver Creek game, and kind of working ahead on a story I've got coming on Trey Kaufman. But that was my first time being at a game at Silver Creek at their home court, and great environment. It was a really good game. I thought New Albany played really well as well, but you have to be impressed with what Silver Creek can put out there on a nightly basis, and if they get production from guys other than Northern and Jacoby and Kaufman, man, it's really hard to beat them, especially at home. And I'm really curious. I'm not going to be there to see that Bloomington South Silver Creek game, but I think that might be the most interesting outcome of any game in the state on Saturday night. Two teams that, like you said, have designs on winning a state championship in their respective classes, and also some possibly Mr. Basketball implications for a guy like Anthony Leal. They're undefeated right now, and kind of reminds you slightly of the 2009 race, where sort of wide open, and then Jordan Holes kind of took control as Bloomington South won state with that undefeated team. So there's some similarities, I think, there, even though Leal and Holes are different players, but kind of a similar deal where it's one of those years where there's not a clear favorite, as we get into even into February now, I don't think there is. So A lot of this stuff, I think, yet to play out. You know, these last few years, last couple of years at least, we've had a, you know, by this time of year for sure, we've had a pretty good idea of who Mr. Basketball was going to be. I don't sense that is the case this year. And that result on Saturday night, you know, could have some bearing in a small way, and in a bigger way, just to see who comes out on top in that game and who wins that matchup. I think a real test for Bloomington South to go into Silver Creek and try to win that game.
Kyle, lots of people ask, Matt, who is Silver Creek's main competition? And I know that that's a tough question, and I know Brandon Hoffman doesn't want us to talk about this right now, because in a tournament, a one-and-done scenario, you know, there's going to be good, reasonably good, and some good teams in Silver Creek's path. There's no question about it. I mean, I think about, Madison. I think about it, even in the sectional. I think about Heritage Hills. And there are other teams that come to mind. But Silver Creek, when they play their game so far and away from everyone, even looking to the state championship game, and you think about Culver Academy's last year with Trey Galloway, they had been to Indianapolis before. They returned multiple players, college-level players, including Trey. It was easy to see that there was very likely – if Silver Creek could get there, a matchup waiting with Culver Academies. Now that Culver Academies is bumped up to 4A because of the success factor, go through Silver Creek's path. Who do you see outside of a Heritage Hills? Even someone from the northern part of the state that the Dragons wouldn't see until Indianapolis. Who do you see as other big competitors in 3A when you think about the state championship level?
Well, I think you'll find out, you know, they play Madison tonight, I know, and I know Brandon Hoffman, you know, talking to him about that is, you know, they're obviously their mindset's going to be what's in front of us, and, you know, we can talk about what they've got coming, but I know Madison's a team that has been playing a lot better, that they're, you know, that is in the same sectional, as you mentioned, off to a good start to this year, but I think it's fair, you know, for us to look past because Silver Creek has played such a good schedule. They play, you know, a ton of 4A teams, and they've handled their route this year pretty well. Other than that, the blowout loss to Lawrence Central, they've played really well. And I think Heritage Hills is a team that I've seen a couple times that I think could give them trouble. They've actually seen them this year already, and that was a game that went to overtime. So I think that's a potential stumbling block, and they have a guy, you know, Blake Sisley, who gives, you know, has some height, you know, so he can – he's a good player who can go up against Kaufman and Jacoby, and I know from talking to Kaufman, he was a guy he was impressed with when they played him. So, you know, that's a team I think that's out there that can give you some trouble. I think another team potentially is Evansville Bossy. Kyron Powell is a big guy for them going to Houston. So, you know, they're in 3A and they're, you know, kind of over in that other part of the state in southern Indiana. Who could potentially be a team to watch. You always wonder about Greensburg. You know, they're a traditional strong team there in 3A in the southern part of the bracket. Stacy Meyer does a great job with them. And, you know, they don't play maybe quite the schedule, at least so far, that some of the other top 3A teams have. But I think you pretty much know what you've got, you know, with Greensburg year in and year out. And Andrew Wellage there is an excellent player for them, Division I player going to Wright State. So, you know, there's a few teams there in the southern part. I would say Heritage Hills is maybe the biggest threat, but I think there's some others like Greensburg and Bossy. And then on the north side, you know, there's a lot of teams. I think, you know, when you look up to South Bend St. Joseph's and J.R. Kaznicki, who's a Notre Dame recruit, is a really good player. Probably a little bit under the radar, even though he's already committed to Notre Dame. But, you know, they're doing some damage up there in 3A, and I think a team that could potentially, you know, make it all the way through. You know, and then there's others, you know, Norwell and Hammond is having a really good year, kind of resurgent team up there in the north. And then also in this, you know, I think Danville, a team I've seen a couple times that, you know, they compete really well with the best 4A teams. And, you know, Brian Barber has been there a long time. They have, you know, they're sort of a balanced team that is very physical. And they don't shoot the three exceptionally well, but they get the ball inside and do what they do really well. So that's another team, you know, coming from the southern part of the bracket. that they could see down the road. I think it wouldn't be probably until maybe the semi-state when they would see them. But I think Danville's a team that you want to keep your eye on as well in 3A. 3A is really good. I think it has been the last couple of years, and I think this year definitely is for sure. And Silver Creek, I think, is the favorite, but there's a lot of really, really very good teams in 3A as well.
Kyle Nedrip, Indianapolis Star, with us as we wrap up the week here on this Friday program. We've talked about girls' sectional play beginning next week, and we know that we're inching closer to the boys' pairings, and then, of course, the start of the boys' tournament. Mr. Basketball race, still very competitive. You touched on that. You look at 4A, there obviously are some teams that have come to the top of the heap, but there are potential for some really big games and some competition in that. You've kind of revived my hope that in 3A, there, you know, and again, we're all for the Dragons here in Southern Indiana, but you know, there is some other competition out there for them. I can only hear this stuff, Kyle, knowing what we've already talked about today with Indiana and thinking about how good the Big Ten is, and think about the number of weeks ahead, month and a half, 2 months, whatever it is, that's going to be absolutely great basketball all the way around. We're going to be in for some fun stuff here.
Oh, yeah, and we'll be surprised. I mean, there will be teams that you know, we think are, you know, going to win their sectional for sure, or win their, you know, whatever, and it won't happen. And, you know, those are kind of the fun, you know, the what-ifs and the, you know, the upsets and things like that. I you know, this week I saw one of the best games I've ever seen in the city tournament with Attucks and Cathedral going to double overtime. It was 94-91. You know, Attucks had five guys foul out. They probably I don't even know if they could have made it to a third overtime by the end of that second overtime with the guys they had out there. But those are always fun game. I'll never forget. You know, you always will remember. So the fun stuff that you see is, you know, those are the moments that's what it's all about. And, you know, we'll have plenty more of those to come. And I was happy I had one of those this week to see for myself in person. But those are the things that are still to come this season, and things I know guys like you and me always look forward to.
Absolutely. Kyle Nedrip, the Indianapolis Star, with us on Fridays. Kyle, thanks. Have a great weekend.
All right, thanks so much, Matt. We'll talk to you soon.
That's going to wrap up this Friday program. Back with you Monday. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.